morning, Bondi, and welcome to Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, we pay respect to traditional custodians of the land we're coming from, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Now, before we get into today's podcast, we just want to pass on our condolences to all the families and individuals that were affected over the weekend by the tragic stabbing at Bondi Westfields here in Sydney's East. And we just obviously hope for all those families and those people in hospital as well, that they come out of it. But yeah, John, a tragic scenario, and obviously I'm sure we'll hear much more about it during the week. Looking at the sporting world though, Jono, before we get into some of the other big headlines, including the Michael Jennings case and obviously the European second leg quarterfinals coming up this week, what were some of the other big sporting headlines to come out of the week that was?
Yeah, look, I mean, we can touch on a little bit bigger later, but of course, Byron Leverkusen winning. But I think out of that as well is just kind of a little bit of a crazy one that Bayern Munich player Kingsley Coman, for the first time in his career, will not be winning a league title.
Crazy.
So across his whole career at PSG, Juventus, and Bayern, yes, he's played on some good teams and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the first time that he has not actually won the league, which is actually just a crazy stat to kind of think about for somebody who's been in the league for quite long now as well, and has that many titles to his name. So crazy to see that. He is a great player as well, so but crazy to see that. Secondly, look, in Arizona, it looks like that the Arizona Coyotes, there's reports of them officially now being moved to Utah. It comes actually a couple days after a story broke that there was going to be a new stadium made in Arizona for them. But it looks like there's some complications with that, and the league is actually kind of pushing them to move to Utah. We know the struggles with the Coyotes. I think it dates back to even, I think it was last year or the year before, where the city actually locked them out from their own venue. So a lot of complications there. So it looks like it's all but finalized that the Arizona Coyotes will no longer be and will now be heading into Utah. And then finally, of course, the NBA playoffs have all but kind of wrapped up in terms of who's going to be in the official playoffs and who's going to be the play-ins. Look, there's some really, really last day drama and everything like that. I know my Phoenix Suns just narrowly avoided that play-in tournament. You have seedings were all determined as well. As well as, you know, you had even the West, right? Those top three seedings were determined in the final day. You have even the play-in seedings were determined as well. Which it just really shows that with this play-in format, there's a lot more up for grabs, I feel like, now as well, which makes these final days all but even more important too. It wasn't teams that were just kind of decided, oh, there's nothing to play for. All the way from the top down, there was something to play for, which I absolutely loved because it just made it more exciting. And I'm so happy that my Phoenix Suns avoided the play-in series as well.
Yeah, we'll get some tips later on in regards to the play-in. And congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder for finishing top in the West. Amazing for that. Such 100%. A young team as well. So some exciting times ahead in the NBA. For me, Jono, I've got to start in the golf world and world number one American Scottie Scheffler winning his second green jacket at the Masters after winning by four sets over Swede Ludvig Abberg. Jono, we're seeing a true champion and legend possibly being built here. Scottie Scheffler has really dominated this year, and he certainly is the best in the world, and he really confirmed that with how he played at the Masters, especially on that last day.
Yeah, and consistency as well throughout the whole week, right? Always a couple shots ahead and everything like that. I think that's the bigger thing is, you know, sometimes you see there's kind of like a whole pack up at the top. Well, there were some competitors and everything like that. But I think the consistency throughout, it just showed that he was a little step above in at least this Masters.
And also to round it off for him, his wife is heavily pregnant, so he's expecting his first child in the next day or so. He's going to be flying back to hopefully welcome that new person into the world for him as well. Number two, Johnny, UFC 300, a huge event over in the States, and Alex Pereira won his light heavyweight title fight against Jamahal Hill, while Zhang Weili defended her strawweight title with a unanimous victory over Yan. And Max Holloway delivered one of the most sensational knockouts in his lightweight victory. I don't know if you've seen it, Jono, but quite a hit over Gazier there, and I guess probably got the highlight of the night there for UFC 300. And for me, number three, Jono, obviously you did mention about Bayer Leverkusen winning their first ever Bundesliga title after hammering Werder Bremen 5-0, securing the title with five games to go. And now we have to see, can they go the season undefeated, potentially in the Bundesliga, And can they win a treble with the Europa League and obviously German Cup still to come?
Yeah, the best thing about this is that this team, even though they've secured the Bundesliga, has everything still to play for because they're chasing that perfect season in terms of no losses. They're chasing the potential for treble and everything like that, and they want to really mark their name in history. I think, look, already for how successful they've been to this point, they will at least be in the German league's history, right?
100%. And the Bayer Leverkusen history, that whole team with Xavi Alonso as well.
So hats off to them for that. Scenes were absolutely incredible.
Oh, amazing.
Over there. And just, yeah, seriously, congratulations to them. And as we've said time and time again, I hope that they can start to disturb what has been the norm over there in Germany.
That breaks an 11-season title winnings by Bayern Munich. So it breaks that sequence, and it's probably good for the German Bundesliga in terms of its 100%. Health there. Well, as we touched on, Jono, a little bit earlier, a major story to come out of the NRL during the week, and it was concerning Sydney Roosters veteran Michael Jennings and his 300th game, which came up against the Newcastle Knights last Thursday evening. Now, the NRL refused to celebrate his 300th game. Usually with players that bring up such milestones, the NRL also celebrates this milestone. Both Channel 9 and Fox Sports also refused to interview him after the game. The reason being, Jennings obviously has just come back from a three-year performance-enhancing drug ban. But on top of that, he's also facing a civil court case where he's been ordered to pay his ex-wife more than $490,000 in damages for personal injuries. Jennings has obviously denied the allegations and was never charged by the police, but the civil case ruling was upheld. Jono, before we go into a few more details around the case, what have you made of the discussion around this this issue of Michael Jennings? And obviously the Sydney Roosters did celebrate it in a little bit more of a subtle way, a little bit more of a, I guess, it wasn't over the top on Thursday evening, but they did acknowledge that the Sydney Roosters, and Trent Robertson, the coach, has come out and said it's not a police issue, and it's a civil case issue, so he should be allowed to be celebrated. But what have you made of the discussion around it? And obviously the NRL allowed him back and be re-signed by the Roosters, even though they knew this was obviously hanging over his head.
Yeah. Now, I think that the first and foremost, it's a strange situation in terms of the NRL even just allowing it full stop, right? This is somebody as well that you look at it and has two layers of a problem, right? We're talking about some instances that are happening in terms of that's very much off the field in his personal life in terms Absolutely. Of those instances, as well as in something that is a complete violation of the rules in terms of performance enhancing, right? Yep. And both of those instances are a violation of the rules, right? I think secondly, it's looking at it from a perspective of the NRL has had so many problems with individuals, whether that's, range from just recreational drug activities to domestic violence issues to, in terms of performance enhancing and everything like that. Let's start taking hold of this as well. Why did we allow this to kind of get to this point, to even come back? They allowed him to come back. I'm glad that they kind of took that stance as to not celebrate and everything as well. But then again, it begs that question as to, well, why did you let him back in the first place, right? And then also from a Roosters perspective, celebrating in a subtle way, you're still celebrating this milestone, everything like that. You're basically saying that, what we're going to say is we're going to turn a blind eye to this instance basically right now. We're going to enable this behavior, honestly, and we're going to celebrate this man because, you know what, hey, look, he seems like a changed man and everything like that. But that doesn't necessarily, what he's done so far is he hasn't made right for what he's done wrong. And so it just kind of, I think it's not necessarily right by the Roosters. I think it's quite wrong in this instance. They should be looked at, I think, in a little bit of a bad light right now because of what they've done.
Well, a couple of, key things out of this particular scenario is the issue of domestic violence. We know it's not just in rugby league, but in society as a whole is such a sensitive issue and should be treated with that sort of sensitivity because it is it's an issue that affects so many people. And unfortunately, probably affects more females than it does males in regards to the perpetrators usually. And as you said, it's an interesting how the NRL allowed him to re-sign with the Roosters, knowing that this case was there, but obviously have sort of taken a backward step in regards to celebrating his 300th. The question really is should the NRL have allowed him back in the first place? Because however they frame it, Michael Jennings playing professional sport, playing in the NRL, is a hero now. He will be looked up to by younger people. That's just the nature of the platform that he has got. And should he be looked at by younger people, by Roosters fans, etc., etc.? It's sort of a I don't know if he maybe shouldn't have been allowed back in. Maybe they need to take a harder stance on that, regardless of the drug. He obviously
yeah, that's a complete side issue.
And he served his time. He's 3 years. Okay, he served his time. You can almost sometimes accept that. We've seen it in other sports where people have done the wrong in terms of performing drugs and have come back and been allowed to come back into the fold. But I feel like a domestic issue, which hasn't been resolved, as far as we know, he hasn't paid the money back to his ex-girlfriend. So that's still an ongoing issue. I just feel it's a really tricky place to be in. And did the Roosters really need to sign a 35-year-old Michael Jennings?
Yeah.
In terms of with all that baggage?
Yeah, there's from my view, there's no need for it. This is someone who's coming to with, as you said, a range of domestic violence issues from physical, mental to financial abuse. Also, I really didn't like how the Roosters kind of set that up, where he's walking out with his kids, kind of just... What it made me feel is that they are just trying to cover up a little bit more, make him seem like a real nice family man and everything like that. Whereas again, it's that situation when instead, let's just tackle this head on, right? Let's take ownership for what has happened. Let's try and figure out a way past this. But instead, it just seems like a little bit of a cover up here just to what help them perform on the field. Let's think about this as a bigger thing, right? And I think that as athletes across the world and everything like that, and this is every range of sports, especially at the pinnacle of your sport, you do have a bit of a duty of care to make sure that you are kind of just living life on an extra standard, right? Because you have so many more eyes on you.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, you have so many children that look up to you and everything like that. Yeah. And is this really
setting you're a role model as soon as you are in that position, whether you
100%
want to take on that role or not.
Yeah.
And people look at you as, you know...
Yeah, and it's not setting a good example for the next generation. And as you said, regardless, people are gonna view him and take their own perception of things. But let's stand as a league, as a club, and let's stand up for what is right here. And right now, I'm sorry, but it just feels so wrong, right? It just feels wrong. It has a really bad feeling about this, and the way that it was all handled as well just seems so incredibly off. So I think it's a real bad misstep by the Roosters and even a big misstep by the league itself.
Yeah, because on the face of it, you'd say the Roosters haven't actually done anything wrong in the sense of they've been... The NRL has allowed them to re-sign Michael Jennings. Yeah. And I guess for them, the way Trent Robertson has communicated, he's saying, you know, Jennings deserves a second chance and he hasn't been criminally charged. It's obviously, as I said, it's a civil case. But I think, as you said, I think it's just that image of is this the sort of people we want to celebrate? Does he deserve such an accolade? Because 300 games is a big deal. But the issue that's hanging over him, that has to be taken into account. It can't just be ignored. Yep. And as you said, it seems like the Roosters have sort of pushed that to the side. And
yep.
Interesting with the Roosters, they've had the Spencer Lenu issue in Las Vegas where Trent Robinson came out and sort of said, you know, had nothing has been charged, et cetera, after the incident. So the Roosters have been challenged in terms of the way they've had to deal with some of these big issues. And I think, John, I think this particular issue, I think, could have been dealt better both by the NRL and by the Roosters.
100%, yeah. And it seems like... Look, maybe it's right now, I don't know, but it just seems like there's a slight pattern here with the Roosters as well, and kind of just in terms of their players, the way that they're kind of going about things and just making things just kind of just push to the side, right?
Yeah.
They're pushing things to the side. Yeah. And they're not taking full accountability for things, full ownership of the actions and everything like that of them as an organization, as their players. And they're not looking at this as a whole picture as well and thinking about how this has those lingering effects and everything like that. So for me, Yeah, it's yes, the Roosters were trying to do things by the rules. They got everything approved, everything like that, but they still knew what they were getting themselves into. And you have to look at a bigger picture from this sometimes, especially signing someone who realistically, no matter what, they're at the end of the career anyway.
Absolutely.
Why even take on this type of burden and everything?
He's
not like
a 21-year-old who's got a career ahead of him. He's right at the end.
This just seems so off. And just like I said, I'm disappointed with both the Roosters and the league.
Yeah, hopefully it's a situation that does get resolved, and obviously between Jennings and his ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, it is something that that we do see is resolved down the line. Turning our attention, Jono, to the European football quarterfinals, second legs coming up this week. We saw some absolutely cracking games and upsets, such goals, sort of all happened last week. Looking at the Champions League first, Jono, all four quarterfinals up for grabs in these second legs. Looking at, I guess, Manchester City, Real Madrid, 3-3. Arsenal, Bayern Munich, 2-2. Atletico Madrid taking a slender lead over to Germany, 2-1. While Barcelona take a lead 3-2 against PSG back to Spain. But, Jono, all four games, all teams will be thinking they have a chance to get through.
And I think all four teams have a chance to get through.
Yep.
They all demonstrated in their own way why they deserve to be here and that they can each beat their opponent, right? That goes for everybody. Those games, like, honestly, were some of the best, I think, quarterfinals Champions League that I've seen in a very long time, or if not ever seen in my life, right? Those were all four just great games. You don't normally see that. You see maybe one or two of them or just absolute great games.
And with goals as well.
Had goals. It was tight moments. It had everything.
Yeah.
And again, it showed that you don't know who to pick in these. It doesn't matter, you know, okay, you get a slight edge for playing at home, this, that, or anything like that. But realistically, they all just showed that they're capable of winning. They're capable of scoring. They're capable of defending. It was great. It was honestly great. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen in this next tie, because this is now, it's all for the taking. And I love the fact, I wasn't a big fan of the way goal rule. And it's for this instance right now that literally,
this is where you say the positivity.
Everything is now up for grabs here. It doesn't matter about because one person scored more away or anything like that. It is all up for grabs right now. And that's what I love about this currently.
No, that is the one positive that's come out of taking that away goals rule. I think it's, as you said, we're going into these four legs where that is taken out of account. And it's now just whoever can be the best team in this second leg. Looking at the Europa League, Jono. What an upset
big
there.
Results.
Liverpool losing to Atalanta 3-0 at Anfield. I don't think anyone saw that happening.
Don't count out my Italians.
And that has really opened up that Europa League. Roma upsetting AC Milan at the San Siro 1-0. Bayer Leverkusen look like they will get through 2-0 at home against West Ham. And then Benfica, Marseille 2-1. Marseille taking that goal back to France. We know what an atmosphere will be at the Velodrome. But again, most of those legs up for grabs. Probably the one that we look at is Liverpool potentially are gone. I mean, if there is a team in Europe that could maybe do something extraordinary, it would be them. But, Jono, Atalanta, what a moment for them and Gasperini, who's done an amazing job with that team. We know their budgets are a little bit smaller in Italy, but an amazing story for that club.
Yeah, look, honestly, I think that really bad week for Liverpool.
Oh, shocking. We'll touch on the Premier League in a little bit.
Overall, just a really, really bad week for them. But as you said, I think out of all the teams that are probably in the Europa League, of course, I'd probably look at them as a team that can just pull something out of thin air as well and come up with a big
performance. An early goal in Italy, that could really...
We've seen them do it before.
We have seen them.
But I don't know. I don't know. It just seems like they do have losses in them this year, right?
Yep.
We saw
it
last year as well. So I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this one off. They've dug themselves a little bit of a deep hole. There's a little bit of glimmer of hope there, but it's going to be difficult. But that has to be one of the most shocking results out of the whole week,
absolutely,
you know, of Champions League and Europa League and everything as well. I don't think anybody really saw that kind of result happening.
And De Rossi continues his great coaching performance with AS Roma. They're really pushing for a top four in Italy.
Yep.
And now taking a lead back to back to the capital. But we know Milan, they've got the quality, so they can turn around, but it should be a cracking second leg. And quickly touching on the Conference League, Jono, Villa taking a slight lead to France over Lille, 2-1. But again, this game, Lille will count themselves well in this tie, and it'll be a tough game over in France for Aston Villa.
100%. That's where I think atmosphere is definitely going to come into
place,
because they have an incredible fan base and everything like that. But I think, yeah, it's going to be an absolute tough one for them as well.
Yeah, can't wait for those second leg European quarterfinals to come up this week. Well, as always, John, I'll end with five quick questions. I've got you this week.
Let's do it.
Let's go, mate. All right, number one. So following on from those huge Premier League upsets, Arsenal going down to Aston Villa, Liverpool losing to Palace, what percentage are you now giving Manchester City, Arsenal and Liverpool to win the English Premier League? What percentage are you going to give? Obviously, I think maybe Man City are now most pundits' favourites, but what's the percentage out of the 100 out of those three?
Yeah, look, that's a tough one. You'd have to give City, you know, a strong chance of getting through. I'd give them almost like about a 60% chance.
Yep.
Honestly, at this point, because they're probably going to be able to hold it strong. I think for Arsenal and Liverpool, it's very much in terms of how they're going to perform in this latter part of the season is going to be very dependent on if they make it through to the next rounds of their respective tournaments. Yep. So I'm probably would be scrap them spare even in terms of where they're going to be able to get at about a 50-50 chance for them. And again, give that slight edge to City, just because I think that they have, of course, that squad depth all around that they'd be able to manage even if they make deep runs in the Champions League. Whereas for Arsenal and Liverpool, whoever gets knocked out first, I'll give them the slight edge then and kind of finishing potentially higher.
I think that's a good call because, yeah, if Arsenal do somehow beat Bayern Munich, they're into a European Champions League semi-final, and they could be playing Manchester City or Real Madrid. Exactly. So, as you said, that could have a massive effect on what happens in the Premier League. As you said, number two, the NBA playoff play-in tournament is here. The play-ins are now locked in. Who wins? So on the West, we've got the Pelicans versus the Lakers and the Kings versus the Warriors. And on the East, Philadelphia versus the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls versus the Hawks.
Yeah, look,
who we got winning in the first bit of the play-in?
Yeah, in the West, I think the Pelicans are going to do it.
Woo!
I don't know. I just think, you know, AD kind of walked off as well with a little bit of apparent injury on the last day.
He'll be okay.
I think he'll be back. But I think the Pelicans have just actually, they've been playing pretty good in this last little stretch as well. And because
they will get a second chance, though, the loser, Pelicans and Lakers. So they're not automatically gone, but the Pelicans then will get straight through to the playoffs.
And then I'm going to pick the Kings over the Warriors.
Woo! The Warriors gone!
And then it'll be Lakers-Kings, and we'll see what happens with that.
And in the East?
In the East, look,
Philly been on a bit of a run.
Yeah, Philly have been on an okay run, but I think that just overall the Heat might be able to take that through.
Yep.
And then I'm going to tip my hat to, I think the Bulls will be able to take that one. A little bit of a...
Who will take on the loser of the Heat and Philly. So at least with the Philly and Heat and Pelicans, Lakers, they do have a second chance. But for the other four teams, it's loser goes home. So it's going to be a cracking to see the play-in tournament there. Number three, Jono, out of the UFC world, big announcement to come or came out over the weekend concerning Conor McGregor. And we knew he was going to fight again. It was just depending on when. But will Conor McGregor come back to the octagon for UFC 303, be a successful win against Michael Chandler on June 30 in Las Vegas? Both men haven't fought in a while. And we knew this fight was sort of in the making. What do you reckon of Conor McGregor's chances? 35 years old now.
He's also now a movie star in the new
movie
Roadhouse.
I know, he's got a lot of other side projects.
I don't know. Look, I think he should have stopped years ago. I mean, he's just coming back now, I feel like, just for more money. Just to get his name back up there. I'm not going to give him any. I don't think he's going to be successful at all.
Michael Chandler for the win, hey? Michael Chandler for the win. It's going to be very interesting.
I just want his name to be done. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of him.
Yeah, we'll see. But we do know one thing. People are definitely going to tune in because the Conor McGregor name is such a big name in combat sport. Number four, Jono. Huge A-League couple of rounds to come. And will the Western Sydney Wanderers make the A-League finals after a heartbreaking loss to Sydney FC on the weekend in the derby? They are now a point ahead of Melbourne City with two rounds to go. They play Melbourne City this weekend and then Melbourne Victory to finish their regular season. Do they make the top six?
I'm going to say yes because they had some fight in them and they
fought. Did. They were unlucky on the weekend. Yeah.
So they almost had that, you know, almost had a tie at least.
Yep.
So I'm going to say yes because they have some fight in them.
And if they get a positive, if they beat Melbourne City this weekend at home, they're in.
Yeah. So I'm going to say yes.
And number five, Jono, one of the biggest stories to go around the NRL at the moment. Does South Sydney Rabbitohs coach Jason Demetriou survive as head coach? Looks like he's going to survive this week. But the talk is that he's right on these tender hooks. And Mount Meninga's been talked about potentially coming in. Does he survive this period of South Sydney?
Yeah, it's actually a tough one because normally I'm such a person to keep the coaches long-term and everything. Yeah. But I feel like that what's happening over there is honestly the locker room has a huge implication on it.
Some issues.
Something is happening in terms of the culture. So sometimes when those are the issues that are happening, when it's off the field more so, you might need to just a full reset. So not going to survive the whole season, let's say. Okay. Maybe a couple more weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's certainly a story that's going to keep rumbling on. Well, that brings the end of another episode of Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, thank you for your support and good night.